today begins a three-week series, and we all should be excited about this. Maybe you're not quite so excited yet, but you will be, I guarantee you. It's a three-week series on fasting. Everybody raise their hand who knows what fasting is about. Yay? Everybody raise their hand that's excited to do a fast in 3 weeks. Yeah, amen. You should be. You should be excited. And I want to encourage you, by the time we finish this three-week series, we will be doing a church-wide fast for a week. It's going to be an awesome time. And by the time we get to that fast, everyone in here should be excited to give it a go. If you've never fasted before, you're going to do great. You're going to do great. And so with that said, everybody got their word today? Word? Everybody got their pen? Pen, got your pens? All right, amen. Well, feel free to take some notes. You can use your bulletin. There's a little space to write on the back of those notes. We're going to be flipping through our Bibles kind of quick today, but we're going to have most of these on the screen. So with that said, dear Lord, we ask that you bless your word, ask you bless this message, and Father, I pray that these words are not my words at all. Father, they are your words. They are exactly, Lord, what you want to say to us this morning. Prepare our hearts and open our minds and open our ears, Father, for your Holy Spirit to speak and move and to challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I've been a Christian and a follower of Jesus for over 45 years. I know it's hard to believe. I look like I'm 27. But you're laughing a little too hard this morning. Thank you. Hey, am I on, by the way, back there, guys? All right. You know, I've experienced his faithfulness, his love and grace, his might and mercy, his blessings, and even his reproofs. Lots and lots of reproofs and times of discipline, and I've needed them all, I assure you. I've experienced times when he has seemed far away and times when he has seemed as close as my heartbeat. In all my years, I have never felt as close to him as when I fast. Also, I have seldom seen his power more displayed, nor his presence more manifested than when I fasted. It seems as if I gain a personal audience with the King. I mean, I know we all have access to God the Father through Christ Jesus. I understand that, of course. But when I fast, it's as if I'm in his living room and he's sitting in the big papa chair and I'm curled up on his lap and I ask him anything and he responds. That's what it's like when I fast. Fasting is one of the great disciplines of the Christian faith. It's a discipline by which we gain self-control over our flesh, are more in tune with the Spirit, and able to draw nearer to God in intimacy. Christians have been practicing fasting ever since Christ ascended. In fact, believers and the people of God have been fasting for thousands of years, even before Christ. Fasting can be found in the earliest pages of our Bible. God's people have always been fasters. And is it just monks, nuns, rabbis, special holy men and women of history who fast? Not hardly. Fasting is for everyone. It's effective in producing righteousness and adding fuel to our prayers. The effective fervent prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. Fasting places us in the accomplishes much category. It's like prayer on steroids. In addition to its spiritual benefits, fasting also has physical benefits. Now, you'll like these. Like, it aids in reversing disease, slowing the aging process, clearing the skin, ridding the body of toxins and waste, reducing cholesterol, lowering blood pressure, and more. Who would like to throw all their pills in the trash can, right? We're a society and a culture. I personally, you know, I've got my cholesterol medicine in the cabinet, my blood pressure medicine, you know, combat triglycerides and high cholesterol and blood pressure, all that. We're kind of all in the same boat. Man, fasting can reverse those things. It's amazing. And I'll be talking about that in the weeks to come. However, while the physical rewards are numerous, few spiritual practices have more immediate benefits and verifiable results than biblical fasting. Fasting is what I got my doctorate in. That was the emphasis of my studies. I've been a faster for years, and I've studied the health benefits of it, the spiritual benefits of it, and I've been a doer of it. And I can tell you, nothing has more power or is more effective in my life for getting God's attention than fasting. Nor has my body ever been healthier than when I fast. It's doable, it's possible, it's powerful, and you can count on it every single time. Every single time. So for this three-week series, I want to explain what biblical fasting is compared to fasting in general. Then I'll explain why we do it, that is, under what circumstances and for what results. And finally, for the third week, I'll explain how to do it. How to do it. And I can guarantee you that everyone in here can fast. And once I kind of open those doors and show you how, it may just change your life. It's going to be awesome. So today's message is entitled, What is Fasting and Is it Biblical? Sadly and perhaps tragically, the American church has become spiritually anemic. In a majority of churches, you're not going to hear much mention of sin, fear of the Lord, repentance, holiness, sacrifice. These topics do not sell many tickets. A steady diet of these subjects will leave a lot of seats empty in a church, and empty seats do not pay off big mortgages. Yet it's these very things that should be the center point of our studies and Christian conversations. Here's a sampling of what the Bible spends a lot of time talking about. They'll be on the screen. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to kind of read in gist of what they say. In Luke 9:23, pick up your cross and follow me. Luke 1:50, fear God. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Crucify your flesh in Galatians 5:24. Get rid of sinful practices, Ephesians 5:3. Give up your desires for Christ's desires. Philippians 3:8. These are some of the verses that God speaks to us in His call to walking in righteousness and in holiness. Well, I guess it makes some sense that you don't hear a lot about these topics in churches. Because after all, we are talking about Americans. We want everything nice and concise, don't we? No pain or discomfort, please. And did I mention we want things now? We don't want to wait. We want to pay our money and get what we ordered. It's the age of the microwave, the internet, and the 99-cent menu. It's great times to be alive, isn't it? So for these reasons and more, the topic of fasting is probably not in the top 100 sermon subjects you'll hear about on Sunday. And this is sad because it should be in the top 3. Fasting is one of our greatest weapons against Satan and the invisible principalities which causes us so much turmoil. So Satan works overtime to make Christians fearful of fasting. And thereby we relegate it to the margins of Christian extremism. Sadly, the lack of knowledge of fasting by the church keeps many people from experiencing the joys and the victories through its practice. God says in Hosea 4:6 that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Well, I don't want that to be the case for Faith Church. So what does the Bible say about fasting? Fasting in the strictest sense of the word has to do with physically denying the body something it demands. But in the biblical sense, it goes much further. In general, it is the practice whereby we offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, humbling ourselves to the point of absolute and complete dependence on Him. It's a voluntary form of weakening ourselves, whereby He is made strong as we are made weak. And our fellowship with God becomes our bread. His power sustains us while His strength is unleashed. Are you catching the fire yet for fasting? Keep listening. So for those who want a literal definition of a biblical fast, it means to withhold food or drink for spiritual purposes as an act of worship done unto God. I'll say that again. A biblical fast means to withhold food or drink for spiritual purposes as an act of worship done unto God. The Old Testament word for fast is tetsum. Tetsum. It literally means covering the mouth. Covering the mouth. The New Testament word is nousteo. Nousteo. And guess what? It means the exact same thing, only done in conjunction for religious purposes. So it's covering the mouth. Many people have been taught by well-meaning pastors and preachers that fasting can mean anything as long as you abstain from it. Something maybe that's not good for us, such as turning off the TV for a few days, maybe shutting down the computer after 4 o'clock, stop smoking or drinking, give up cursing, maybe give up some reality shows. They teach that almost anything can be something from which we fast. However, before we proceed, I do want to say this, that if we do anything for the Lord, if it's shutting our computers off or turning off our TVs, or, man, when we do it for Him, God's going to honor that. That's not a bad thing. Actually, it's a good thing. God will honor your heart, especially if it's done for worship. The kind of things we've been taught that I'm referring to here about turning off your TV and computers and things, we hear that a lot around Lent. Who has fasted for the times of Lent before, leading up to Easter? I know that I have. And a lot of times for those 40 days leading up, we will be encouraged to, hey, let's, you know, quit eating junk foods, quit drinking coffee or sugar or TV or something, and that's your fasting. You are fasting, and when it's done for God, God's going to honor it. But in the technical and literal sense of the word, it is not biblically fasting. Bible and biblical fast include something we either eat or something we drink. And that's how it differs from just abstaining from food. And further, a biblical fast involves Bible reading, worship, and prayer. When we see people fasting in scriptures, they will be doing 1, 2, 3, or 4 of all of those things. You see, God desires a contrite heart, and He responds to such. When we invite Him into our struggles, this is important. The pages stuck together. So we got an idea of what a biblical fast is versus abstaining, right? Get some head nods. Anybody still awake out there? You guys all right? You're thinking about lunch, aren't you? All this talk about food. Man, I can't wait to get out of here. Get a 99-cent menu. I apologize for that. Why the Bible is replete with stories of fasting, the first person that we should look at when we are trying to determine whether it's biblical to fast is, of course, Jesus Christ. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, we'll be here for just a moment. If you'll notice verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We're going to talk about why He did this actually next week. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I bet he was. Nobody had to teach Jesus about fasting. He grew up in a culture that practiced it. In all likelihood, his very family practiced fasting. He knew the benefits and the power which fasting produced. So before he battled with the devil, he fasted. Well, is it for today or is it just for Jesus? It's for us. Jesus was also a rabbi. What he taught his disciples and modeled for them, he expected them to do. Not as an obligation, but as a normal part of loving God. We are his disciples. Those expectations are still there. Not as obligations, but just a normal part, a normal expectation. If we love God, we will do these things. Turn to Matthew 6, over a couple chapters. This is still Jesus talking. In fact, it comes on the heels of the Beatitudes. See, turn. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Let me read that with you here. So we'll begin in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. So we're doing it out of love. That's why we do these charitable deeds. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now you might want to circle this. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now look at verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And then he goes on to explain how they are to pray in the Lord's Prayer. We see it here. Now, jump down to verse 16. So here we have two expectations. When you give and when you pray, these are what the Lord's disciples are to be doing. This is part of their normal worship of the Lord. Now we get down to verse 16. Moreover, so especially, don't forget this, moreover, when you fast. So there is an expectation of fasting for God's disciples, Jesus' disciples. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. And then in verse 18, I'm not sure if we'll have it. Yeah, we'll have it up there. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Pretty cool, huh? So we find here that fasting is indeed biblical. Jesus practiced it, and so did the patriarchs. It's all over the Old Testament. And really, it's all over the New Testament when you know what you're looking for. And he still expects his followers to be fasting today. It's almost as if Jesus was to ask us, how's your fast going? You go, well, I'm not fasting. I'm supposed to be like, you're not fasting? It should be a shock. Fasting should be a normal part of our worship to the Lord in some form or another, fasting. So there is an expectation. The second point to today's message is that we all should be implementing some sort of fasting in our lives, not only as a means of gaining self-control and drawing close to God, but as a means of warring against Satan. Who here would like an extra arsenal against the enemy? Yeah, I would too. Fasting. Fasting. You see, when we fast, we take control over our bodies and flesh. And Satan hates when we have self-control. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And might I say, a very important one, as well as we pursue holiness and righteousness. Satan would love nothing better than to trip us up, to get us feeding our flesh, to get us walking in self-chaos, if you will. Fasting. Fasting is the weapon where we slap him back. You can't control me. You can't control my flesh. I have the Holy Spirit who's given me self-control. And I am putting my body in submission. My flesh cannot have what it wants. And this carries over into other parts of our lives. Maybe we battle with drinking. Maybe we battle with smoking. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's anger. I don't know, whatever it is that's your flesh, that's your giant. Fasting is the rock that kills this giant. Once we can control our stomachs, we can control our flesh. The Bible alludes to this several times, though it doesn't speak overtly to this. We can make a theological case that if we can control our stomach and our flesh, we can be more easily led by the Spirit. We can more easily follow God. We can more easily walk in righteousness. I personally, in my years of fasting, I have found this to be true. And the more I fast, the more I put into my effort, the greater the rewards are in overcoming my flesh. Maybe it's a spiritual bondage of fear or anxiety. Fasting. Fasting is the ticket. I'm telling you, it works. It works. And sometimes we are looking for, we're like, well, I've fasted. I did this and I didn't see anything happen. The truth is that we don't know what is going on in the spiritual realm. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we war against principalities. We war against the invisible enemy all around us, and he is all around us. And we have to fight him in the spiritual realm as well. Fasting is a physical endeavor by which we fight the enemy in the spiritual realm. We do battle in the spirit. Fasting. Fasting is, well, I didn't see any results. You don't know that. You don't know what God has done behind the scenes. When we approach and when we pray and ask God and we seek Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, God responds. As I read the Bible, it tells me, ask anything in my name and you shall receive it. When we're talking about overcoming our flesh, I would think that God, who tells us to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, is going to pour out His grace so that we can walk by the Spirit. And we can put away the sins and the deeds of the flesh. His word says that. I believe it. I know that you believe it. Pastor, I do believe that. But I'm not sure about fasting. I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I'm going to explain how so that it's not this big monster. It's actually a little bit of ant. It's a little dude. You can do it. So God will give the willpower. And I'm going to end with this, because I just want you to think about some of these things. If you'll read Isaiah 58, Really, a lot of people consider this the preeminent fasting chapter in the Bible. God talks about loosing the bonds of wickedness. Whatever bond, whatever is holding us back, whatever strongholds are in our life, fasting is the way, is the rock that we sling the giant. We want to overcome the stuff that's held us back for years. Fasting is the ticket. Now, it may not occur overnight, but with a steady regimen and steady practice of it, we will gain victory. I've seen it in my own life. I'm speaking from my own experience. And if we were to have, if I was to invite testimonies up here of folks that have fasted and seen God move in huge ways, we'd probably be here for hours. Because I know that we have folks in here that practice fasting regularly. So I want to close with this. Anybody can do it. Raise your hand if you're anybody this morning. We got a couple somebodies, but we're looking for mostly anybodies. We don't have any nobodies here. We got somebodies and anybodies. A couple busybodies. You need to be fasting. Get over that. Then, the hardest part about fasting is our minds. It's in our minds. There's a mental hurdle. You see, we've grown up eating, right? Like, that's one of the first things we do. We're born, we start eating. We train our stomachs and our bodies need sustenance. Food is good. God gave us food. So the thought of going without a meal for even a day or something that we need is hard. But it's up here, not down here. It is not hard. There's a little pinch. You know how with the doctor, you're about to get a shot from the doctor, and he says, hey, this is just going to pinch for a second, right? And it does. And then the needle's in there, and the pain is gone. Zach's shaking his head. No, it goes, it hurts for a while. The point is, yes, there's a little bit of discomfort in the stomach. That's actually your stomach complaining about getting healthy. It's like going to the gym and getting sore a little bit. I'm not going to work out anymore. It makes my muscles sore. Well, of course it does. You're growing. That's how God has built our body. So fasting, when we begin to fast, there may be a little bit of discomfort. It's just a pinch. But it's up here. And the way we battle up here is in the Word of God, through prayer, through faith, through believing, and we endeavor and we pursue and persevere. We're soldiers, right? We don't give up when we get hit, get shot. We're with each other. We can do this. Anybody in here, anybody, raise your hands again if you're anybody. You got anybody? All right. You can do it. You can do it. But I'm not just going to say, God bless you, you can do it, go fast. We're going to, next week, we're going to look at what, in what circumstances should we be fasting? Should I fast to lose weight? No. But if you're extremely unhealthy and you want, and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you want a healthy body, yes, I could say you would fast to lose weight because maybe there's a stronghold of food there that we need to take down. But it's not all just stop eating. I'm not going to eat. Hey, God bless you guys. Don't have any lunch. We'll see you tomorrow. You know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some tools. But that's not it. Remember, fasting is a physical endeavor for a spiritual purpose. But it does involve something that goes into the mouth, down in the stomach. Everybody good? Is that clear enough? All right. Next week's going to be really good. We're going to learn the purposes for which we can fast. Then we're going to learn how to do it. And that's going to be awesome, too. Then we're going to do it. And we're going to see God move. I promise you, He's going to move. Amen? Close our eyes.